Wow, I wasn't thinking about having to catch my breath after that. Good morning, everybody. My name is Lauren Peets, and I was one of the team that traveled down to Honduras. It was the first time for myself and my family, Jason and two of my boys, Tyler and Colton, came along on the trip, and I have the privilege and the hard task of coming up here and in 5 minutes trying to summarize all of the amazing things that we did for the week. In case you guys don't know, we landed and we all got home at about 4 in the morning, so we are running on the Holy Spirit and some Honduran coffee, which we did open up and brew this morning in our house. So, and we brought a lot of it home. If any of you would like some, we have plenty to hand out. So I'm going to give you guys just a recap of what our week looked like. To start off, it was, I'm one that likes structure. I'm a creature of habit. I like to know everything. I'm super type A. So going into this week, made me a little bit nervous, but it was very clear right out of the gate that we had some amazing leaders, both with Christ Point and also the people with the Honduras Life Center, or CIN, the Children's Impact Network. It was very clear very quickly that there was going to be no, what are we doing next? We had a very structured schedule. So basically, a typical day looked like this. We would wake up in the morning on this beautiful, amazing campus of this hotel we were at with a lake and mountains, beautiful vegetation. There were dogs and chickens and roosters and peacocks and horses and all sorts of donkeys, amazing things to see. But we would start our day with devos. So someone on our team would lead a devotional for the day, just picking a topic, looking at scripture surrounding that. And then it really turned out to be a very special time where we as a team would share a lot of our stories, things that you may not know when you come in and sit next to people every Sunday at church, kind of digging a little bit deeper and talking a little bit about our lives and our stories. And I know for one that when I walk in these doors every Sunday, this trip will forever change the feeling when I walk in the doors and the people I see and the people I know just so much more about now. We walked in this morning and it was just hugs all around, even though we're exhausted and wearing the same t-shirts we had on since 6 a.m. yesterday in Honduras that we've sprayed with Febreze and all of that. But you know what? Everyone was here this morning with a smile on their faces. And I think a lot of it just goes back to even just those morning devotionals that we had and how we get to know each other. It would then be followed by an amazing breakfast. So, anyone who went in thinking, I'm going to lose 5 pounds this week, it did not happen because they fed us really well, just a beautiful spread at the hotel every day with lots of options and amazing fresh fruit, everything you guys could ever want. From there, you pretty much had 10 minutes to get your stuff together, get on the bus, and we would head out to our first thing of the day. And depending on the day, there were different things. So one of the things that we did were called serve projects. So we would head over to the HLC, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute or two. But we would head over there to the Honduras Life Center, and the interns would give us an assignment. And so we broke up into three different groups. We were able to paint the building, painting, spackling, priming. Our teens and some of the guys, they had the very arduous task of digging a fire pit. And they were gross and dirty, and they didn't complain. They just dug in and filled wheelbarrows full of dirt and moved earth, created this beautiful, I mean, it would fit into this area right here. This was not a little fire pit like right here. It was a huge area. They dug it out and laid rock and laid landscaping paper, and they worked their tails off, and we did that three different times. And then we had a team in the new, what did they call it, the rec building? the multi-purpose building. So it's a new room that they're building for the kids at the HLC where they'll be able to have more group fellowship and dinners and activities. And they were in there drywalling. And it wasn't drywall on the walls. It was drywall on the ceiling. So for any of you who have ever done that, you know you typically use a mechanical lift. Well, our men were the lift. They were holding things up on the wall while other people were, you know, putting the drywall up. So also a very hard task. But it was neat at the end of the three different days that we did those projects to be able to go back and just see the fruit of the labor and see all of the things that we were able to leave behind for the kids. And luckily, another team comes in after us from a different church, and they're able to continue with the work that we did. So a lot of hard work, but just awesome to see it. Another thing that we would do multiple days was called Sidewalk Sunday School. So you just saw an example of that with the song that we just did. And sometimes we were in a room almost as big as this stage with 50 or 60 kids. And there was another time we were probably in something almost the size of this entire barn with a very different feel. But we would pray with the kids. We had a skit that we did, Jonah and the Whale. We had a couple of songs that we would do and sing, and we were getting the kids up and dancing with them and just praising with them and praying. And we had a little activity where we made every single one of them a cross necklace with different beads, and it wasn't just fun. It was each bead had this, a significance, so the blood of Christ being red or black being our sin or green being you know, our new growth in Christ, and we talked to them through every one of those beads as they made those necklaces. So they had something tangible in their hand to leave and take with them once we were gone. And at the end of that, even prayed, asked them to, if any of them wanted to, ask the Lord into their hearts. We had a translator, so we would say something and someone would translate, and then the kids could say it back either to themselves or out loud. So that was a really neat experience as well. And then just some fun time with them. So we would braid hair, paint nails, play soccer, you name it, all sorts of fun things just to have a little bit of fun time with them as well. So that was a really neat thing that we got to do, really going out into some of the more remote villages in the mountains and spending time with the youth in their communities. Another thing we did, depending, again, on the day, if we didn't have surf projects, we had time, we call them home visits. So we also went out into the communities, but this time we did it on a very intimate one-on-one level where we would go into people's homes. And I think it was eye-opening, at least for those of us who were new on this trip, just the conditions that some people live in, what they have, what they don't have, you know, maybe dirt floors or barely a roof over their heads. But we were there to speak with them, to learn their stories. We prayed with them. We delivered food, and we were told pretty much the large bags of food that we were delivering would sustain them for about 2 weeks for whoever, so rice, beans, you know, other basic food needs. So that was neat. And I think before going, I thought that was really the point of those home visits. And I learned very quickly the food was about 5 seconds, and the majority of the time was learning these people's stories and praying with them, and just digging down a little deeper, a little bit less surface. And I'll share a little later when we do something else one of those stories. But one of the groups had the privilege of seeing someone come to the Lord, and they prayed with that person right there on site. A group that I was in had someone who rededicated. She said she did know the Lord, but she rededicated herself that day. And again, through Lottie and Carmen and a couple of the interns, they were rock stars. They were our translators. So we were able to communicate with people that we wouldn't otherwise be able to communicate because of the language barrier. But there were hugs and tears. There were songs we sang with them. We sang in Spanish, and I know we did our best, and they probably in their mind were laughing at what we were saying. But we really tried, and we sang in Spanish and did some amazing things. And I know that was one of my favorite times, and I think everyone on the trip would agree. And then the last major thing that we did, which is probably also topped everyone's list of favorites, was just spending time with the kids at the Life Center. So going over in the evenings, sharing a meal with them, And now I'll kind of take a step back and say what the Life Center is. So there are 27 children that currently live at the HLC. They are all basically rescued from severe poverty, neglect, abuse, some pretty horrible stuff. They're not there to be adopted. They're there to be raised and live for life until they're 18 years old and they can move out into the world. They get medical care. Most of the kids are sent out to different schools, but they also get education in the HLC. They get to also, they're trying to learn English. They learn about Jesus and have everything that plays in there is Christian music. So they're basically like being raised in a big, huge, giant Christian home, regardless of all of the horrible, heartbreaking stories that they have behind them. But we would go in the evenings and we would sing, or we would put on music and dance. Or again, there was a lot of soccer, of course, because it's Honduras and they love soccer. And kids would just, you could look at them and they would speak to you in Spanish and you'd have no idea what they were saying. And somehow through help from someone next to you or some sign language or just playing a game with them or whatever, you would just connect with these kids. And when we first pulled up the very first day, when I tell you the kids like stormed the bus and were like banging on the doors and the windows, it was so neat. We were like, oh, okay, wow, like these kids are really excited that we were here. And that was just, that was just really cool. So again, you're going to hear a lot more as our team comes up here and we have some interviews. But I'll leave it at this. God was in Honduras. Someone said this on our trip. God was in Honduras before we got there. He was there when we were there. We felt that. And he's still there now. So we didn't bring God there, but it was an extreme privilege for us to be able to just see a little sliver of that and be just a tiny part of that and see what God is doing across the world in people that maybe shouldn't for what they have. Praise God, but somehow a lot of them probably have more faith than a lot of people sitting in this room right here. And I think that was a real encouragement to us. And the second thing is I think everyone on our trip would say it changed us, and we probably needed that trip as much or more than the people of Honduras. So I got more from them than what we brought to them. And so if any of you sitting here have ever thought, you know, this Christ Point goes year after year. I sat here in your seat last year and heard some of these stories. But it's intimidating, right? It's scary to think about doing something so unknown. But I encourage you to just listen to some of the stories today. And if you feel moved or led, we'd love to see you join us in the future. And anyone here today in these blue t-shirts, just grab us as you're leaving today. And we're happy to share more of our stories. And we hope to see some of you join us in the future. So that's it for me. And I'm going to hand it over, I think, to Billy and some other.
Stay up here. Stay up here. Hey, yeah, I want to have, thank you, Matt, Sarah, Jill, Lauren, Mary, and Trent come up.
We are sisters, if you ever didn't know this. Some of you have confused us for one another.
Oh, we're
so
I ran out of seats.
There are two of us.
Here you go. Sit near. You're going to sit here. You're going to sit here on the side. Sorry, Matt. You need to get, oh, there you go, Phil. Thank you. Just right here would be great. So, yeah, we're just going to, this will only take, our goal is to be out of here in the next 20 or 25 minutes, okay? So we want to go, no, that's okay, you did great. You know, as you know, at Christ Point, we exist to point people to Jesus, right? That's why we're here. And we, one of the key ways we do that is by engaging all people. And by that, we mean everything, even as Phil prayed today. We mean people locally. We also mean people in other parts of the world that take a little bit of extra effort to get to see. And hopefully you'll start to hear, if you don't already know, why that is. But it's a big deal for us to engage, and we want to do that practically when we can. And one of the ways we do this is by going to Honduras. We've partnered with this ministry called Children's Impact Network. You may have heard of them before. They have orphanages in Chile, Honduras, Bolivia. Is it three? There may be one other, but they rescue the least of these. The scripture's clear about widows and orphans, right? There's some special attention that God gives to certain people. The least of these, Jesus says, when you care for these, you're caring for me. And so we want to care for them. Now, there are plenty of those here locally, but they're also international, so we do both. And so these team members went. I want you to hear from them, more from them, less from me, and just have a few questions to ask them, and then they'll share from their heart. We spent like we're jet lagged, okay? So if something goes sideways here, just handle it, or figure out a way to deal with it, and we'll apologize if we need to. I haven't even told them. I'm going to vet you or kind of give you, like, share from your heart whatever's there, good, bad, and ugly, okay? We're not dressing this up. This isn't a sales pitch. We're going to keep going whether anybody else goes or not. Honduras is going to move. Jesus is going to move. CIN is going to move. We get to play a part. You'll start to hear that. So the first question is just let's start here, go down. What surprised you about Honduras? Let's start there. Be specific or general, whatever it is, and you're on the clock. So there we go.
Hi, I'm Mary Kraft. I got to go with my daughter.
Yeah, introduce yourself.
Yeah.
That's okay. There you go.
I got to go with my 12-year-old daughter, Bremer, and this is our first time in Honduras. The biggest thing I think that surprised me was HLC, like the orphanage itself, because when you think orphanage, I think Little Orphan Annie, and it's a hard not life. And when you show up to Lauren's point about pounding and storming our van, I thought I was going there to love on them, and they were there to love on us at a much higher level than we could ever do, I think, for them. And so I came thinking I was going to see the horrible stories, and they have so surpassed their horrible past and have raise themselves to such a level, like you're getting hugs from children you've never seen and don't know by name. And the amount of love that they poured out on us was unfathomable based on what I expected and what I knew their stories and their past were. So I think that surprised me the most. I knew that I would get a lot out of this mission trip for me, but I didn't anticipate the place where I thought we were going to need to dig deep and overflow into was there was so much overflowing of God's love coming to us.
So many things. This is just one, I know. This is my second year going, and so I was surprised by a lot more things last year just because everything was brand new, and I had a million questions, and I wanted to know all the things and whatever. So I think this year what surprised me was that, sort of similar to what you said, it felt like a homecoming. That first time that we pulled into the house, it didn't feel like I was going to meet them and greet them because I wasn't sure if they were going to remember me and whatever. It felt like a homecoming. It felt like I had never left. I think what also surprises me is that the language barrier just wasn't as much of a thing as you would think. I know, basically zero Spanish, but you pick things up, you figure it out, and it's just not as much of a stumbling block as you would expect. And then the third thing, real quick, is that I was surprised at the layers of people on the team specifically, how you all allowed us to see you and know you even more, like even people that were on the team last year revealed some things just in our Devo time and in our talks on the bus, things that I didn't already know, like some big things. And so the vulnerability and community that happens just organically by being on this trip is surprising and beautiful.
I think I will have to kind of tell one story of one of our home visits, and without getting super specific, I'll say that in one house, and we certainly did spend a long time in there, more than expected, there was a woman, Haiti was her name, And she shared with us when we just said, tell us about yourself, your work, your life, your husband. You know, we know there's hurt in most of these people's lives, or we probably wouldn't have been showing up there. But in this one house, there was an alcoholic husband who had also would beat her when he was drinking. Her son, 12 years old, had been kidnapped for a couple of days, abused during that time frame, now has some lots of psychological things and suicidal thoughts because of all of that. Her mother was murdered when she was young by her stepfather. And this is one house. This is one house. It was like baffling, and poor Carmen was trying to translate, and I just know at one point she just was like she would hear what this woman would say, and she would just have to stop before she could even translate it to us. That's surprising enough, right, that people have stories like that, but that was not what I was surprised by. I was surprised by the fact that this woman had faith and believed in God through it all, and was almost like encouraging us at one point. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know how she is holding up through all of that. And there was a lot of stories like that. That wasn't the only one. That was just the worst as far as her life circumstances. And yet she may have been beaten down, but she wasn't broken because of it. And it didn't break her faith. And it made me go, okay, I need to stop complaining about the things in my life. And I think I'll remember her for a long time after the trip.
Good morning. I'm Sarah Fox. This was my first trip to Honduras. I definitely would echo everything they said, but I feel like there were not many surprises at all because of how great the team prepared us to go. We had monthly meetings where we'd get together and talk about what it looked like, how to prepare, all those good things. I really wasn't surprised by anything. They did a great job getting us prepared. So if you're worried about surprises, I really don't think anything was major for anybody aside from those deep connections. But one of the coolest things I learned was that even after the kids leave the Honduras Life Center, they're supported for another year and they go to a Bible college and learn more. And a lot of them have even gone on to ministry. And he said one got a master's degree in psychology. So it was just really, really encouraging to see how good those kids were doing as they grow up and leave the Life Center. And the flies. That's the sheer number of flies is a little surprising.
I'm Trent, if you guys don't know me. I think the most surprising thing for me was when we went to the villages, the joy on everyone's face, even though they have, I feel like, very little compared to what we have, they always seem to be the happiest I've ever seen anyone be. Praising God through whatever they had, whatever, they just seemed so, so joyful and content with what they had. And I feel like us being so, like, I don't know, in like such a powerful country, I feel like we take a lot of that stuff for granted. And, they were just content, and they didn't ask for anything else. They didn't need anything else. They just loved what they had. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Next question is, okay, let's talk about if you felt anything that really challenged you. Was there something that, whether God or in your own heart, well, obviously it's all God working it, but were there any gut punches or any things where you're like, okay, I got a long ways to go here, or something where you just felt challenged as you deal with that, process it, and where you go from here. However you want. Go ahead, Trent. You need a minute to think because you just went.
Can you repeat the question one more time?
I cannot repeat it again. Okay. I can't. I had 3 hours sleep. Now, what challenged you? Was there anything that you just come back and go, I want God to... thank you, God, for convicting me or challenging me on this.
I don't have any. Okay.
Okay. I have an answer.
No, that's good. No.
We literally just had this conversation with my family in the car on the way here when we were talking about something that we took from the trip. And so what I said to them was, I realized that I'm a very busy person, just super type A, super busy. I do everything fast. I'm always going. I never stop. Jill says I don't know how to relax, and I don't. And I realized that on our trip, it wasn't just wake up in the morning and pray during our devotionals and then pray before meal. It was every time before we got off the bus or when we were about to walk into someone's house or at our devos in the morning and before our meals and before at every little moment where we knew we needed just a little bit of strength or a little bit of encouragement or even right before we were about to go and interact and play with the kids, we would pray about our interactions. And I think that was my challenge was I don't do that enough. I don't slow down enough. I don't just take a minute or two and just pause before whatever it is I'm about to do. It doesn't have to be a big, important thing, but before anything I'm about to go into in my day, that's what I said I'm going to challenge myself in this next year, not just in the year, but before I, you know, go back to Honduras, is just to pray more throughout the day.
So Kayla is on staff at the HLC. She just texted me and said, stop giving Trent a hard time. She's watching. So she said, leave Trent alone. So y'all go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I would kind of echo what she said, like the lack of the control part of it, you know, in a little bit different direction. Like I knew I wasn't going to be in control, and I definitely like to have control over my days, what I'm going to eat, how I'm going to exercise. Super important. But by the end of the week, you know,
She's serious about exercise.
The problem. But by the end of the week, you know, I started running with one person on Monday morning, and by Friday morning we had six of us out there together doing workouts with everybody. So that was really, really cool to just see how we all leaned into each other. And I also had to just kind of lean into the lack of control and be like, it's not about me. Let it go. Like, let the leaders lead. Do what you're told and just love and be part of this work this year. So if you like the control piece, it really was easy once I said, it's not me, right? Like, it's okay. It was really, really good to not be in control because we really aren't in control. It's all an illusion anyway. But that's another conversation.
That's a sermon right there. That's a sermon.
Preach. No, I would agree with that as well. I would say, too, I tend to sit back and watch before I contribute, and we were only there a week. And so I found out really quickly, like realizing the limit of time, that we just had to jump in with both feet immediately and just go. And God used that immediately. I mean, there's places, so many places to be serving just with your own, just with a smile, let alone anything else. So I would say that. The other thing that challenged me too was their eye contact. Because they never look down, you know, like in America, you're walking by and people divert their eyes. They don't have time for you or the self-image to talk to you or whatever it is. There's so many different great, you know, good reasons. But there they look you in the eyes and it allows you to connect immediately and they hold it. And it just allows God to pass from person to person. And I really appreciated that. And it encouraged me just to slow down and take the time just to look at people and understand. And God will speak to you in those moments. And I just thought that was really something that I need to be aware of and I'm bringing back with me.
I think something that's very special about the Honduran way is their ability to go with it. I wouldn't even say it's pivoting because, like, they just do it so naturally. I think we get into our routine. We like things our own way. We like a certain way to order the dishwasher. I mean, stupid stuff like that, right? But there is a lot that we can learn from them about holding things with a very open hands. Whether it's switching up the program of Sidewalk Sunday School because the sky is about to open up, whether it's we lost power at the hotel for, I don't know, 8 hours. And I said in one of our meetings, can you imagine if this happened in an American resort? The pandemonium, the demands, the attitudes, the people wanting refunds and comp days and all this baloney. It happened. Staff said nothing. People said nothing. You just keep on going. And it was, there's something to be learned there. I think also, like, I was so joyful the whole time. I'm just, I literally at one point was like, I love everyone. Like, I just... Or I was crying, but it was like happy tears, mostly. And, but you're so present. Like you said, you only have a week. And so, like, there's kids literally hanging off of you and playing with your watch and literally opening your bag and, like little monkeys. Like, they're like, what you got in there, you know? Like, and you don't get annoyed with them. And I know that I get annoyed with my kids. And I get annoyed with the pile of dishes. And I get annoyed that they didn't fold their laundry on time. Like, stupid stuff like that. And I need to be reminded to just be joyful and childlike, even in the mundane of everyday life. Because your real life isn't like a week-long mission trip where you don't have to think about dinner every day for the rest of your life. You don't have to think about the dishes. You don't have to think about any of those stupid mundane things. But you can still have joy and you can still be present with that mundane. Because the mundane isn't going away.
Mm. Good word. So along those lines, that sounds like something that God is teaching you, kind of living with open hands. Any other things you feel like God is teaching you through this that you're thinking about jotting down or maybe you've already jotted down?
Billy Mike dropped this one morning during our devos. He said, "You're not the point," and it really resonated with me. He kind of backtracked a little.
I actually
like,
didn't say it that
you did.
Way.
Yes, you did, but it was good. It was so good. Like, it's not about you. It's not about your... No. It is, but it's not. Like, it is about loving people the way Jesus loved people. It is about God. It is about so many more big things. And we get easily trapped in our own minds and our own spaces, and we get real selfish. And our world that we live here in America is very egocentric, and it's your truth and your story and why you're, like, my anxiety and my depression. We own all of it, and we've got to let that go. It's just not what it's about. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about sharing his word and his love.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. Trent?
For me... The thing that spoke to me was like kind of like what she said about it's not about you, because I've always had that thing where it's like I feel I don't speak up like in devos or something like in a group because I feel like I'm going to say the wrong thing or someone's gonna think something bad about me if I say something that maybe didn't come out right or something like that. Like, I've always been almost like not self-conscious about that, but just to the point where it's like I kept overdoing it, thinking I'm gonna say the wrong thing. I'm not gonna sound like a pastor or anything like that. Like, there's been points where I just don't speak up because I think I'm gonna say the wrong thing. And I think that God's really trying to show me that it doesn't matter what you say, as long as it comes from your heart and as long as it comes from God. That whatever you say, it doesn't really matter what other people think.
So piggyback on that, what makes you as a teenager want to go back again?
Just the connections. Like, the kids, like, they remember me. So that's like, the coolest part. And then, yeah, it's just, I don't know, that's just the connections between everybody there.
Beautiful. What makes you, if you'd want to go, what made you want to go, is what would make you want to go back the same thing as what made you go originally? That's a good question right there. And I didn't even have that written down.
I mean, I really wanted to go after this service last year. I was just like, oh, my gosh, those people are just lit up. It is so cool. It's like when my kids come home from camp and they're like so on fire for Jesus. And it's really, really cool. And I definitely feel that from our crew. Like, yes, it's so much more about the people there and how much they gave to us. But our group in itself, you know, like I think she said, just we are so close, and nothing brings you closer than sharing a room with a stranger for 7 days. Like, but you know, every night we just connected deeper and deeper, and the whole crew, you sit next to someone new on the bus, and it was so much fun to get to know someone deeper, someone like I didn't even think I was going to get close to. Like, me and Larry have so much in common, and I was so happy to connect to her. So I think those deep interpersonal connections amongst the people you're traveling with is really another reason I would absolutely go back, like, next month.
That's cool.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, if you struggle with feeling like you want God to use you, there is, like, no doubt, and I'm a planner, too, so not having, like, just showing up was super weird for me and not knowing all the details, but God will use you so fast. And then I would agree with the connections. We want to dig deep roots here, and we want to create family here, and that is significant, that was easily done, I would say, on the trip. And there's, with 29 people, that's a big group. So it's, you're expecting a couple of different clicks and a couple of different inside jokes, to be sure that you don't know. And like none of that happened. And I think I almost sat by everyone, almost everyone at least, or close by on the bus. And those are 20 minute conversations where you just get to know everyone at such a deep level. And then the devotionals as well, like people's level of vulnerability was extremely humbling. And it does change when you walk in the room in the morning. So that was, I would say, you know, I would definitely say go.
I'm Jill. I forgot to introduce myself. Jill Lejeune. I think there's a verse, I don't know where it is, that says pure religion is to care for widows and orphans, right? And I would say the hardest, but also, okay, it's a meeting now because I'm crying, but the most beautiful thing, one story. We had to break up into two groups for home visits because there were so many of us. Can you imagine, P.S., 29 people knocking on your door being like, tell us your story. Invite us into your brokenness. Like, can you imagine that? So we split it into two because it's manageable if it's 15 people, not 29 people. So we split it into two groups. And I know for me that last year, at least, the first time I did this was when my heart nearly exploded because I'm a super emotional person. And one of the things that the staff sort of preps you on is that some of the things you're going to see are jarring, and the stories that you'll hear are earth, like heart-shattering. And so they say, do your best to, if you're, like, losing it, to sort of, don't make a scene. It's not about you, right? And so, like, if you need to, like, really ugly cry, like, step out if you need to or whatever. And so I, like, wore a hat and just kind of hid and everything. And so I was more prepared this year. I was calmer because I had done this, and I knew sort of what to expect, and I was praying, like, just use us, whatever. And so we walk into the first house, and they prepped us because we go with the local pastor. The local pastor helps choose the homes. And so they let us know this woman lost her husband, and she has, he was 15, four kids. 15-year-old son was there. The other ones were working, 12 and younger, school. They were at school, right. Sorry, they were at school. And so we walk in, and you can just see, like, they're just glazed. And as we're talking to them, she discloses that her husband died in a sudden accident 10 days before. And it was like, and this is the house that I was, I had to pray. Like, we choose ahead of time who's going to present the food, who's going to pray with. And I was the one that had to pray. And I was like, really? Like, really? And so, I mean, ugly crying. She does not ugly cry in front of people. But about back to the widows and orphans, it wasn't a pity cry. It wasn't, I can't believe this circumstance. This was a weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. And we just, like, bear hugged her and just bawled together. And it felt wholly appropriate and, like, spirit-led as opposed to just, I feel so bad for you. And so we prayed, and another very special moment. Melvin, who's kind of like the head Honduras guy for CIN there, when he was a teenager, his dad would travel for work, and he was the oldest boy. And so his dad would say to him, kind of commission him and say, you take care of your mother. You're the man of the house now. You take care of your brothers when I'm gone and all of that. And we would have never said something like that to the boy. Emilio, was that his name? Emil. We would have never said something like that to him because that is so foreign to us. You're 15 years old, and we're going to say you're the head of the household. So Melvin stepped in and commissioned this boy, and we had all the boys, all the men with us, come around, lay hands on this boy, pray for this boy, and commission him as the head of his household to take care of his mother, to take care of his siblings, to protect them. And I'm going, he can't do that. He's 15. But he's commissioned and he will. And they were believers in that home. And so if you think of it, just pray for that mother and for those kids and that family, because he can't do it on his own strength. But with the Lord's help and with his guidance in that home, he can. I forget the question, but that was a good story.
That's good. We'll wrap up. Any last words you want to say? I want to give you a chance to say something before I just wrap us up and pray us out.
I'll say this as, again, someone who is kind of a control freak, but also someone who's married to 20-year CMPD veteran whose antenna are always up for just safety and surroundings and what's happening around you. Like, I went in very nervous about that, having two of my boys there, although feeling very comfortable with Jason. I didn't feel uncomfortable or nervous once we were there, and we knew our surroundings. It felt very safe. We were always together as a group, but I didn't feel uncomfortable in our hotel or with the people we were with. It was never, although we were going into some poverty situations in the villages, there was never that feeling of this is scary. So I just wanted to say that if that's something that would hold any of you up from doing something like this, and if there's anyone who would say that, it would be me or it would be Jason. So,
good word. Any last words? You don't have to, but
if you think you want to go, you do.
Good word.
I would encourage you to, we have lots of different dynamics in the group. We had some spouses. We had whole families. We had single adults. We had a couple of single younger people. We had a single parent, not single, but like one parent went with kids. And all of those dynamics were very special to watch. It is so cool to serve alongside your kids and to see what they are capable of and to know that they are observing and watching all of it. Very special, I bet, to go with like almost your entire family. Also super cool to go as I would think like as a single person, like whether you're married or not, going without your spouse when you're going there as a single, it's kind of special because you're just observing it as just one. So whether you're single or married or have kids, whatever combination of people you think might want to go, there's something super valuable in any of those combinations of people. And like they said earlier, like, find one of us with a blue shirt, or in the months to come, if you have questions, I know it feels official to like come to the interest meeting and you feel like, oh gosh, now they have my name and they're going to think that I'm going. And talk to one of us and we'll tell you, ask the real questions and we'll tell you. And I don't think there's a single person who has ever gone on this trip who has said, I regret that. Right. I shouldn't have gone.
Good word.
So go.
That's a really good word.
I also think if like you're one of your kids or something wants to go and the parents aren't able to go, I mean, there were so many ways that each other's moms and dads were pouring into kids and spouses and that kind of stuff. The number of times people were like, thanks, mom, to me, and I didn't have a kid. You know, it was just like we all plugged in and filled in the gaps and the holes and stuff. And I think Naya would definitely say, and she was a single kid that was there without a parent, 13 years old, and she just soared, and she was a major encouragement to all of us. So, like, if you have a kid that wants to go and you guys aren't able, I still think, go. Let him go.
Good word. Good word. Yeah, it was an honor. Anne Marie went with me this year, and it was really cool to serve alongside her and see her dance and do the things that she did and enjoy it. So thank you for sharing. This is better than I was hoping for, so I'm grateful for that. Huh? Yeah, this is pretty legit. God shows up. God shows up. So just to wrap up, there are a couple of points that I jotted down during one of the devos when people were sharing. We were having a debrief, and the question came up about, hey, you know, we spent or invested $72,000 to go on this trip. Why not just mail them a check? I think that's a legitimate question. And I think the answer is legitimate, too. And that is a couple of things. Number one is, in all practical reality, we wouldn't have raised $72,000 just to send a check. Second thing is that a big part of what our cost of the trip covers, we're basically paying for flights, food, and then the supplies that we use. They don't have a never-ending supply of sheetrock. Okay, they don't have an ever-ending supply of gravel. That stuff costs money, and you got to get it kind of just-in-time inventory. Okay, you got to get it about the time it's going to be used. And so the money that we pay goes to pay for that, and it also pays for some people to oversee the project and then direct us in what we do. And so there's a big part of this that goes to pay for all that. But the primary reason we don't just send a check, because we could send a check. We do send checks, okay? We do send money. But the reason it's a both and is because of what was shared up here, which is what James has called the ministry of presence. It's the idea that there's nothing that God has made us relational. And people in Honduras are relational, and we are relational. And the reason that Trent experienced the joy on the people's faces that we went to visit was because they actually had a visitor. Okay, that's a big, big deal. When you live in a village that nobody knows about, that's essentially forgotten except for the other couple of dozen people that live around you, when people show up, and you know they're coming, it's a big deal, okay? The ministry of presence. You can't replace that. You can't mail a check to someone who's suffering. That's why we go visit, right? We go see. We spend time with them. And so they remember our name. Naya said during one of the times, I was just so floored that they remembered my name. That's what Trent said. They remembered his name. Here's who they remember the name of, the people that come back. They're going to remember all Jill, Lauren. They remember Jill. Okay, they're going to remember Mary, Lauren, and Sarah when they go back. And there's nothing like it to have an orphan. You know that they're praying for you and that they know you by name. That's a big deal. And so we go because of the way it changes them. It allows them to express their love. It allows us to feel God's love and also reciprocate that. Okay, that's a very big deal. There's much more to the reason we go, but that's one of the big reasons we go. The second thing that I want to mention, it was commented on, and some people say when you go on a mission trip, especially if you've never been before, it can feel like the mission field has some superstars, which can intimidate a lot of us. Okay. In my experience, I've learned that that's a lie. Okay, they're not superstars. They did one thing. They said yes. Okay? They just said yes. God tapped them on the shoulder, said, you want to go? They said, okay, I'll go. They say, you want to stay? Okay, I'll stay. So here's the thing. God is going to do what he's going to do. There's not going to be a single person in heaven that should be in heaven that's not there because you didn't go anywhere or I didn't go anywhere. We're not that important. We are not the point. We are not. We will never be the point. The gospel is not about us. It's for us. But we are not the point. The God of the universe is the point. And he is not going to share his glory. He's not going to. Okay, so he is going to show off. The question is he going to use you and me to do it? And so we had some kids and some teenagers in, and I said, hey, they understand sports. I said, you're on the bench, you're waiting for your turn, you're kind of a rookie, you don't know. And the manager, the coach comes over and says, you ready? You're in. You can hit, you can play. Yes or no? Just waiting for an answer because they're going to go to the next guy or gal. Yes or no? You want to play? No. See, there you go. Yes. Now, sometimes we say no, right? We don't know. We don't know. That's why we. I heard Tim Tebow say, we stay ready. I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. Stay ready. That's why we pray. That's why we invest. That's why we read. That's why we do the things that we do. That's why we're in community. So when God taps us on the shoulder, we're ready. We're leaning in so that we can go. And then there's some that he's going to tap on the shoulder to stay, and they say yes. They're ready. They lean in. Doesn't mean you have to do that. But there are no, the superstars are just the people that keep saying yes, and then God shows up and blesses them, and they use their talent. I guarantee you, everyone on this stage and on the pews, if they say yes, they will be a rock star wherever they are. Okay? When people from America go visit them, they'll go, you should have seen Bremer. She's got a funny name. It's okay. But I love her. I love Bremer. You got to see Bremer. She's a rock star. And you go, yeah, of course she is. Right? So that God is going to make sure that that happens. Number three, it can take time to process this experience. These thoughts will change. They'll be manifested. There'll be deeper emotions attached to them. And then my prayer is that for everyone who goes, that they are different forever. They're never the same. There's like a pre-9/11 America and there's a post-9/11 America. There's a pre-COVID world. There's a post-COVID world. I want there to be a pre-Honduras Sarah and a post-Honduras Sarah. A pre-Honduras Lauren and a post-Honduras Lauren. Never the same. And that will be a beautiful thing for everyone they come into contact with for the rest of their life. Okay? We all can do it. We just got to say yes if we want to do it. The fourth thing is God is moving everywhere. I'm just reading my note. God is moving everywhere. If we pay attention, we'll see and know it. If we are His, then He will tap us on the shoulder and ask us to participate. We get the choice of saying yes or no. And in those silly movements we make with the songs, when you've done it for the eighth time, my arms are like, I'm tired of doing this. I don't want to keep doing this. What's the point? The point is the beauty of the gospel and Jesus being in that moment at that particular time. God is a God. He is the God of the past. He's the God of the future. He is very much the God of the present. And He wants human beings in the moment. That's when we experience His peace, when we're here. We're not worried about the guilt of the past. We're not afraid of the future. We're in the moment. That's where He shows up. And that's when we're changed. That's when the world is changed. And so we get to experience that as we go on these trips. And they're amazing. The staff is, they're just amazing, amazing people. My brother Melvin, I'll never be the same since Melvin's in my life. He's praying for me. You can't replace that. Kayla is just beautiful inside and out. Loves Jesus, loves kids, loves to talk junk to James and me. She gives it back. She doesn't back down. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. God shows off. And these kids, the orphans are rescued. They don't call them orphans, but they are kept, and they become the light in a very dark part of the world in Honduras. Honduras is kind of like the forgotten country. You don't hear about it a lot on the news. If you do hear about it, it's not a good thing usually. But God is there. He is in it. Okay? And so that's pretty much it. There's more to it. This is not a guilt trip for anybody that didn't go. It's none of that. I'd love to talk about all those things with you. It is an encouragement that if you're leaning in, to just be praying about it and think about it. There's some things you don't need to pray a lot about, just to be true, okay? If you're, as John Piper said, yes, there are a few missionaries that maybe go for the wrong reason, but we'll never have a problem of having so many missionaries clogging up the airports that people need to start listening to God better, okay? So take a chance, go, let God settle the details about if your heart's in the right place, if the timing's right, if the money's going to show up and all that. Just take the next step, and God honors that. Everyone here, we're fully funded. We've never not been fully funded because we know what, you know, God shows up. I was going to say we know what we're doing. So I was going to take some credit for that. That shouldn't happen. So God shows up. Any questions? Good. Y'all got anything? Anything else? Okay, I'm going to pray us out, and then Dan's going to come up and close out with a song. Okay? Jesus, we just pause to thank You for this time. We thank You for the love that You've shown us in spite of us. we're desperate for you. We're all broken. We didn't take anything down to Honduras that you can't provide for them without us ever showing up. And yet, you let us go. You use people to minister to people. The vine has intentionally made itself dependent on the branches to bear fruit. And we are a part of the story. We're not the story. We're not the point. But we are participants. And you have made it just amazingly clear to those of us who do go and those of us who give, those who gave to support, those who have inquired and prayed for us, and pray for missionaries regularly and do mission things in the local community. You've made it abundantly clear that when we participate, we'll never regret it. We cannot lose when we give ourselves to you. And so I pray that you let that go deep into our hearts today and let us celebrate and let us rest well. Be with, again, the Metzgers as they go for rest and rejuvenation. And bring us back together again soon at the appointed time. Thank you for being our all-sufficient supplier of literally everything in the meantime. In Jesus, your holy name, we pray. Amen.